1793, he had graduated from the future Washington and Lee University. Adventures seemed to call to him, too, and it should be noted that, for elite families, the military satisfied the lust for glory and distinction. After all, Revolutionary War preceded independence. Historians have noted this unique period of the American military, where many were members of politically prominent families and close relatives of high-ranking revolutionary figures. Meriwether Lewis, for example, was the son of a Continental Army officer. It was nowhere truer than for Lewis. In 1794, with the American frontier already bristling with rebellion against a stronger federal government, Lewis joined the Virginia militia and served during the Whiskey Rebellion in western Pennsylvania. Later, he joined the U.S. Army and earned the rank of lieutenant. The military patrolled the Ohio Valley for signs of any future native attacks, and as Lewis served in the forts in the region, he formed a good relationship with one of his superior officers, a fellow Virginian named William Clark. The time seemed good for Virginians to inherit the nation. George Washington inaugurated what historians would later call the Virginia Dynasty, and as the most populous state in the Union, with ample room in its back quarters to colonize Kentucky and the Ohio Valley, the state seemed poised to extend its rule. Men like Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were the leading political firebrands for revolutionary liberty, and in some quarters, it was natural to believe that Virginia was the seat of the revolution. However, by the time the 1800 presidential election swept Thomas Jefferson into the White House, it did not contain the pomp and circumstance befitting the crucial founding father, and it was hardly a time to celebrate the continuation of a Virginia dynasty. It came with clouds of gloom and doom, as well as controversy and suspicion, which emanated from the voting by the House of Representatives to end the gridlock. As soon as Congress settled the matter of president and chose Jefferson, a man with some standards, as Alexander Hamilton quipped, over Aaron Burr, whom Hamilton insinuated had no standards, the Virginian faced new obstacles. Problems with officers in the army seemed to threaten Jefferson, as many of the appointees for their positions were chosen by President John Adams simply for their loyalty to the Federalist Party, opponents of Jefferson's Democratic-Republican Party. Lewis's Virginian birth proved advantageous both for his future and Jefferson. The new president sought out his own allies, careful to pick only those he knew or at least proved worthy based on their background. Lewis knew Jefferson from Albemarle County, as the two had been introduced to one another through social events among the Virginian elite, and he was soon serving Jefferson in the capacity of private secretary. Even more important, Lewis's experience in the army was seen as an asset because Jefferson was concerned about the loyalty among the officers in the army. Since the early Republic's army served as a frontier police force, the inclinations by frontier officers, many of whom were Federalists, to get involved in politics in the new Western states suggested, in Jefferson's view, the possibility for secession among the new states. Already, the Federalists had proved reluctant to embrace Jefferson as their president. At this precariously fragile time for an expanding republic with a central government limited by space and money, Federalist power on the frontier was taken seriously. One way to offset their power was to have fellow Virginians that Jefferson could trust. Lewis fit that role perfectly in more ways than one. Given Jefferson's interest in the exploration of the continental interior and the quality of life he wanted to promote through expansion, an empire of virtuous gentlemen farmers transforming the wilderness. Lest it be forgotten, Jefferson belonged to the most serious of political firebrands, but for all his radical inclinations, pragmatism tempered him. He meant to build an empire. Seen this way, Jefferson's faith in popular patriotism was not based on a naively optimistic conception of human nature. Americans in newly settled frontier regions would become good Republicans as they sought to improve their condition within established systems of economic and political opportunity. In Jefferson's political lexicon, these backwoods farmers were the linchpin of Republican freedoms, and if they erred in their social upbringing, political practices, or even racial composition, the Republic might be in peril. He even saw it much more drastically, inspired by images of the semi-barbarous citizens who swarmed across the frontiers reverting to savagery, subsisting all too easily on nature's bounty, and turning their backs on civilization. Plenty of examples of a mixing of civilizations had taken place on the peripheries of the great empires on the Americas, and Jefferson feared any development that would make his empire look